Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettiner, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons. Welcome to Dan's Talks. My guest today is Paul Anthony, a comedian with many credits on television and elsewhere in comedy clubs and so forth. And he's also a promoter because in a couple of weeks, what's the date of the Bay Street?
Saturday, October 25th. We're back.
Yes. The Ha Ha Hamptons, which is now in its third year.
Yes.
Can hardly lose with a title like that. And you're bringing a bunch of other guys, have to round them up, I guess, and lasso them and stuff. And
get them. We lasso them right from New York City. Most of them come from the New York area. The comedians travel a lot, but there is a tremendous network of comedians right here in New York. We're very lucky that we have access to that. And we work with a lot of them. And we're very fortunate.
Is Caroline, she used to be, had her own comedy club.
Yeah. She closed down the comedy club maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I know she still produces the New York City Comedy Festival, which is huge.
Tell me about what's going to happen that night in the 10 days from now.
So the Ha Ha Hamptons Comedy Tour, we launched it 3 years ago with our partners at Bay Street Theater. They've been tremendous. The concept is that we wanted to bring really the best comic talent working today out to Hamptons audiences. That was the goal, and we've accomplished that. We're very fortunate that, as I mentioned, we have a whole network of comedians that we work with. We've been producing the Long Island Comedy Festival for 19 years. So next year is our 20th anniversary for the Long Island Comedy Festival. We've been producing that at top venues all across Long Island. But we really didn't bring it out to the Hamptons. So we wanted to have let the Hamptons have their own branded show. And that's how the Hamptons Comedy Tour evolved. And now, it's going very well.
It's now in its third year.
In its third year, yes. We do about 4 shows a year at Bay Street Theater.
How long is a routine and how many comics are involved?
Excellent question, Dan. We've been doing this a long time. You're very good at this. So we work with what they call a showcase format. What is a showcase format? Good question. Very simply, we'll have more comedians on a show, each doing slightly less time. So a typical format for a comedy show is there'll be an MC, opening act, there'll be a feature, middle act, and then a headliner will do 45 minutes to an hour or more. Our show, everyone's doing anywhere from 15 to 25 minutes. So it's formatted as a showcase. And you'll see anywhere from 5 to 6 comedians on a show. So if you're good with math and you understand the law of averages, you see 5 or 6 comedians, you're probably going to love at least 3 of them. And I'm being conservative. So people will leave going, wow, I really love comedians number 1, 3, and 5, whatever it was. Because comedy is so subjective, especially today. That's how we format the shows, and it's been very successful.
Can you tell me who's coming?
We have a surprise guest comedian. I cannot tell you who she is. I can give you some clues. She's a national headliner. She plays at top venues all around the country. A few years ago, she was voted Las Vegas's next big act. So she'll be actually emceeing the show. We've got Rob Falcone, who's a national headliner. People may recognize him from some of his appearances on The Sopranos, the TV show. He was on that a couple of times. We have Eric Tartaglione, also a national headliner. A format with the showcase format, it gives us the ability to bring out higher levels of talent than you'll see at other venues. If that's what works for these other venues, that's great. But what we do is we'll put together a showcase where we'll tell people you'll never see these comedians anywhere else all on one stage. Maybe on a Monday night somewhere in Manhattan, if they all happen to be going into the city to perform on a Monday night, but not on a Saturday night in Sag Harbor in the Hamptons. Are you going to see all of these comedians on one stage? And that's why people love the shows, because we're delivering. People want to laugh more. People want to laugh more, Dan.
Tell me a little bit about yourself and how you gotten interested in all of this.
Sure. So I started my career working in broadcast radio, did that for quite a while. But while I was doing that, I also started doing stand-up comedy, typical route that most comedians take, open mics, etc. I mostly worked in the city. And then I decided that I wanted to see if I could produce my own shows. And so, like I said, in 2006, 19 years ago, we launched the Long Island Comedy Festival. I had done some research and found out that there are comedy festivals in just about every major city around the country, some of them larger than others. But what was unique about Long Island is there's no real central area of Long Island. There's all different regions. You've got the Hamptons, you've got Nassau County, you've got Suffolk County. So we came up with the concept that there was no way to just run the comedy festival over the course of 1 week, for argument's sake. So we said, you know what, let's do it the whole summer. So that's what we did. In 2006, we launched the comedy festival, and it ran all summer long. And we haven't stopped since. Now we do the shows year-round because we work with a lot of great venues. Besides Bay Street Theater, we work with venues just all across Long Island. And they wanted more shows. They wanted to have shows not just in the summertime. So the comedians just want to work. And what's great about Long Island audiences is that very rarely do the Long Island audiences go into the city to see a comedy show. So we bring the show to them. Especially the people in the Hamptons. I'll talk to the people in the Hamptons and I'll ask them, you know, when was the last time you were at a, you know, a comedy show in the city? And they're like, yeah, in 1982. So I think we hit on something. You know, there's a need and there's an audience for these comedians. And the comedians love it because, you know, you've heard the expression, you either get a new act or you get a new audience. It's much easier to get a new audience. It takes years to develop an act, especially if a comedian's doing a long set. So we bring them out to the Hamptons, and the vast majority of the people in the audience have never seen these comedians before. And that's very exciting for a comedian because you don't want to be performing for the same audience all the time.
I have some questions in general about comedians and how they work. It seems to me to be amazing that they can learn to do a period of time when they can not go off on some tangent because they don't remember what comes next, but maybe that's just me. It can be done, I guess.
These comedians are professionals. I mean, a lot of the comedians, when you see them perform, they give the impression that they're just speaking extemporaneously off the top of their head. But I can assure you that's not the case. They are prepared. They're very prepared. And a lot of times I'll give them advance notice in terms of I'll describe who the audience is that we typically attract. We produce theater shows, so we don't work at any of the comedy clubs, the shows that I produce. They're only at theaters. And theaters typically attract a slightly older demographic, more mature audience. It's not like a huge drinking crowd. It's a different atmosphere than a comedy club venue. And so I prepare the comedians for that so that they know, and they'll adjust their acts accordingly. We also don't work with comedians that are blue. I don't know if you're familiar with that expression. Oh. Blue comedians, it's a performance term that basically means that they use a lot of profanity or that they talk about subjects that are very, you know, real adult topics. I always tell the audience, people will contact me and say, yo, my son is in high school. Would he enjoy the show? He'll love the show. You're going to hear adult topics, but you're not going to hear a lot of profanity. That's not the type of show that we produce. And the comedians that we work with, you may see them perform somewhere else and be surprised. I'm like, wow, I can't believe how blue that comedian was. When I saw her perform at Bay Street, she was very clean. People appreciate it. I can't tell you, Dan, after almost every show, people will come up to me. And one of the comments that they'll make is, I can't believe how clean the comedians were. And I think that's part of the problem with what's gone on in the world of comedy is that profanity has become just so accepted. And I just think that it's just not necessary. It shows a lack of professionalism and creativity from the standpoint of the comedian. A lot of the younger comedians will gravitate to using profanity as their quote-unquote punchlines because they're lazy and they're not writing really good material. So we work with comedians that are at a different level. We're really working with top comedians. These comedians perform at the best venues all around the country. Yes, they may be based in New York, but they're road warriors. They travel everywhere. They'll travel wherever there's work.
Tell me, are you a Long Islander originally or a New Yorker?
Originally from Queens, Bayside, Queens. My whole family's still there. I now live in Massapequa, or as you people like to say, Up Island.
That's why the walls were built, you know.
That's correct. That's why the walls were built.
Yeah, so the people in the Hamptons could get on Jitney and wake up and they're in New York and just have seen walls for the whole
time. That's correct.
You're a comedian yourself.
Yes, I perform a lot of the shows.
Can you do 2 minutes until I can have a good laugh?
I won't perform on Zoom. But I can tell you that I do enjoy performing at Sag in the Hamptons, and especially in Sag Harbor, because I'll always make a joke about the fact that I love Sag Harbor. To me, Sag Harbor is like Disney World, because just like Disney World, in Sag Harbor, ice cream cones are $17. And that always gets a good laugh. It always gets a good laugh, because yes, the Hamptons are expensive, but guess what? You get what you pay for. There's a reason that it's expensive. It's that good. It's that good.
Well, do you think the ice cream is better in Sag Harbor than it is?
No, that's a situation where it's all about the location. Yeah. So you get to eat your ice cream cone and walk around Sag Harbor. And that's a special time.
Okay. When you were growing up, did you think you wanted to get into the world of comedy?
I did. So when I was growing up, I was obsessed with Steve Martin. And I remember we didn't have HBO where I lived. So I remember visiting my aunt and uncle out in Suffolk County, and they had just gotten HBO. At the time, it was called Home Box Office, for anybody that remembers what HBO, before it was HBO Max or HBO, Home Box Office. And the whole concept was that you could get to watch movies at home. It was mind-boggling at the time. And I remember that Steve Martin had a one-hour comedy special. I was a little kid. I got to stay up and watch it. And I was obsessed with Steve Martin. I still think that he's one of the most brilliant comic talents alive and working today. So he was my inspiration. If you see my act, you'll go, he's nothing like Steve Martin. I don't emulate Steve Martin. There are a lot of other comedians that maybe my style is more akin to, but I just was always a big fan of like somebody like Steve Martin. And he worked very clean, really clean, a little bit of profanity or adult humor in his albums. He was a phenomenon at the time. He was the first comedian to play big venues like the Nassau Coliseum. Now it's very standard for some of these big comedians, these popular comedians, to play those venues. But he was really the first to do that.
I loved his movie Parenthood.
Yes.
And the one where he invents or buys the invention for these glasses.
The glasses?
What was that movie?
Was that called The Idiot or something idiot? Something.
Yeah.
I'm forgetting the name of it.
Well, yeah, I can both remember all of the things he's done. Going back earlier, was he around when you were little, when you were growing up? I guess he was.
Yeah, I guess I was a little kid. I was probably like, 8, 9, 10 years old.
Do you ever want to be anything else? What did you do when you were in high school? Did you go to college? How did it work out?
Yeah, I studied broadcasting. And then, as I mentioned, I worked in radio for quite a while. Couple of different roles, mostly marketing and advertising sales. But I always wanted to do the stand-up comedy. And so I started doing it on the side. And then eventually it just continued to grow and became something that I could actually pursue.
My first job was a radio station at the college. I worked weekend as the news editor at a local station in Rochester, New York, where I was at the
University
of Rochester. And back then you had cowbells and there was introductions, a very rock and roll kind of thing. And this thing they taped, they played was now from our 5-man news team. And I'd start my walk because I was Saturday and Sunday. I was the only person there. I was like 19. But I was
really
the 5-man news team on those. At the end of the week. They were all off. That was
a lot of smoke and mirrors. I miss working in radio. I don't think it's the same as it used to be when you and I got to work in it. It's an example of a media that has changed tremendously.
Yeah,
I think the heyday has passed to some extent, but still value there.
Do you have any plans for doing anything else in the future?
So the Ha Ha Hamptons Comedy Tour will continue. We do 4 shows a year. We're going to be back in 2026. We're going to be doing a big Valentine's show at Bay Street. And then there'll be another show. I think it's either March or April. I can't remember the date. And then the Long Island Comedy Festival is all across Long Island. We also do big New Year's Eve shows. Those are some of our most popular shows that we do. People need to laugh more. And I almost feel that it's a mission of mine to help bring laughter and fun to more people. I try to say this at some point during the show when we're doing one of our comedy shows and we have a captive audience. I try to explain to people, I'm like, what you've just experienced is how unifying laughter can be. It doesn't matter what your beliefs are or what you read in the news or what you heard watching television. We live in a great country. It's the greatest country in the world. And laughter unites. So we're sitting in an audience at Bay Street Theater with 300 people, and they're all laughing at the same comedian, at the same material, at the same jokes. And it just goes to show you that we have a lot more in common than we have in terms of differences. That's one of the things that we try to get across. One of the missions that we had was we wanted to, this is going back a couple of years ago, we launched a new show called Mom's Night Out. And the launching of that was about 8 years ago. We were sitting around talking about, you know, what could we do that's different? And one of the complaints that I had was, I'm like, you know, a lot of these female comedians don't get the respect that they deserve. I would love to have a show, a platform that we could showcase just the female comedian. We work with a lot of female comedians, but it'll be a mixture of male and female comedians on a show. I said, why don't we just invent a show and just see how it goes? And it was, so we launched a show called Mom's Night Out. And from the get-go, it was a huge hit. So it's one of our most popular shows now. We've produced it at Bay Street a couple of times. It's part of the Hamptons Comedy Tour. It's just that it's 100% female comedians. So we'll bring out four headliners. They'll each do about 20 to 25 minutes each, and the shows are absolutely hilarious. Who's in the audience? That's a great question. Mostly women in the audience, but we'll have men in the audience, and actually having the men in the audience makes the show even more fun because it gives the female comedians somebody to make fun of. Those shows are a lot of fun. And again, it's just our mission to go out and try and make people, more people laugh, but also to give these comedians an opportunity to perform at these great venues and at these, you know, for these great audiences. The Long Island audiences are fantastic to perform for. They get very involved in the show. They're very attentive. A lot of times in the city, you don't know who you're performing for. You're performing for a lot of people that are tourists and they're traveling. Sometimes English is not their first language. Those shows are very challenging. You know, imagine doing an interview and the person you're interviewing doesn't really speak English. That's a lot of work, yeah, especially for comedians, because so much of comedy, it's nuances and it's references that people would understand from a certain geographic area or part of the world.
Tell me again the date and the time at Bay Street.
So Saturday, October 25th is at Bay Street Theater. It's an 8 o'clock show. It runs about 90 minutes. There'll be five comedians. It's really going to be an awesome show. You're going to see comedians that, as I mentioned, you would never see them all on one stage anywhere else. That's been our goal, and that's one of the things that we're known for.
Well, thank you for being on the podcast, and I'll see you there.
I look forward to it, Dan. Thank you so much for having me, all right? Big fan. And bye. Keep wearing that hat.